This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all of the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. How many of you have ever tried to plant a garden? Well, if you've ever tried to do that, you know that patience is required. I mean, first you have to clear the soil, get all the grass out if you're going to make a new garden. You got to get all the weeds out of the way too, then fashion your rows. Then you have to plant the seeds. And what's the first thing you might do after planting the seeds? You water the garden. Now, for the record, it's entirely ironic that I'm talking about growing vegetables or flowers or anything for that matter, because most of the plants I've had, except for an ivy that was impossible to kill, died within a week or two. But from what the experts tell me, this is how you plant a garden. Now, what comes next? After you do the planting and then do the watering, what do you have to do? Yeah, you have to wait. I remember in one of my substitute teaching assignments, I read the story called The Rice Puller. It was about a rice farmer who was too impatient. One day he went out to check on the plants and he saw that they had sprouted. So, anxious to see the results, he pulled on the sprouts a little bit in order to try to get them to grow. Well, the next day there wasn't that much growth, so being still impatient, he pulled on them again, tried to pull them up. So, what do you think happened? The next day, all of his plants had died. All of his neighbors laughed at him because he had done exactly what you never do when you're trying to grow something. You don't pull on it, nor should you try to rush the process. That's the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us with this first parable. The Lord said, "He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." Growth in gardening terms is a process, as is spiritual growth. You don't rush the process. With the seed we sow spiritually, there is that silent time when we slowly work the soil, so to speak. We water the seeds, we pull the weeds, and we wait. The watering is the prayer for the person. Sowing the seed is obviously you share the word with them. But then the watering is the prayer. The watering is the continued contact. And then there's the follow-up teaching that you do with this new convert. Pulling the weeds means that we make sure to combat any false doctrine or steer our person clear of any false teachers so that there's no weeds that are sown in that garden. As per one of Jesus' other parables where he sowed the good seed, but then the enemy came in and sowed the bad seed, and then they looked at the plants and there was the stalks of the grain, but then there were the weeds growing up around them. So we try to protect that person and do the weed pulling to make sure there's no false doctrine in that ground. Then we have to wait for the growth. And we have to try to keep ourselves from being frustrated or impatient. You see, that seed is going to grow. And we don't see it. Underneath the ground, you can't see what's taking place. But that seed has been sown, and if it has been sown properly, and if it's been watered, eventually there will be growth. But we cannot get impatient. We have to know that underneath that ground, that seed has been sown, and that natural process that God put in place will grow that seed. And it's the same in a spiritual life too. That seed has been sown. It's there. And so we do the things we need to do. Now, this experience is a lot like teaching math, if you will. You introduce the topic, you plant the seeds, which means you explain the concept. You water the seeds. That's going over the concept again. That may involve a repeat or two or three or possibly even five or six. And you may have to go sit next to the student and explain it step by step personally, one-on-one. To do the weeding, well, that means correcting any mistakes they may make while working out the problems. But then there's the day and night part. Again, the earth produces by itself. That's the part that requires the patience, the long-suffering, if you will, and lots of prayer along the way. And that's always the part we do not see. Because if we're sowing the seed in someone, we only see them occasionally, maybe. And then you just have to trust that that part we don't see is still working. Because we don't know what's cooking on the inside of the brain and the heart of that person we're working with. So we have to trust God in the process with lots of prayer. And it's not whether or not the concept is taking root, ready to produce the crop by correctly working through a page of problems and getting a decent score or seeing some growth immediately. Unlike the rice puller or any impatient pastor, we have to trust that God is doing His thing in the heart and the mind of the person with whom we are working. What kind of crop or fruit do you think we might get if we get irritated and speak harshly to one of our students or converts with whom we're working in a discipling relationship? What kind of fruit do you think is going to come from that? If you say, well, man, you messed up, you dummy. You think you're going to have any good fruit from that? No. And if you're working with someone in a discipleship and spiritual growth relationship, you call them dumb or unspiritual or immature or make some other comment like that, they're out of there. You have to trust the process. And you have to trust God because He's the one that designed the process. So being patient and staying in it for the long haul is crucial. You can't give up. You can't give up on anyone. You know that the word has been sown in them. You stick with them. You stick it out. And you stay with them to the end. And you see the process through. You never give up on anyone. And I've learned that the hard way. Especially these last two or three years. You don't give up. Even though your heart may be breaking for what you're seeing happen, you'd never give up. You don't quit on anybody. Never, ever. Do you say, I'm headed with you, go. You can't do that. Did Jesus ever do that? No. Now what does Jesus say next? And He said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can come make nests in its shade. And this is a beautiful parable. So many people have talked about how tiny the mustard seed is, but you know what that means? That means, and if you've ever seen one of those, you know it's like smaller than those seeds in your rye bread. About the size of a grain of sand. And you know how tiny that is. Jesus tells us that those mustard seeds grow to be so big that they have branches and limbs on them that birds can come and build their nests in them. Now, birds may not be that big to begin with unless you're talking about eagles. But you say it's a blue jay or something. That's a fairly large-sized bird, comparably speaking. But those birds can come and rest on the branches of that plant and build nests there. And here's what is so important and amazing about that parable. It didn't matter the size of the seed. And for our purpose, when we're witnessing or working with someone, it doesn't matter if you give them the four spiritual laws and the steps to peace with God and go through the Roman road and lay it on them big and thick, or if you say, do you know that Jesus died for your sins? Or Jesus loves you. The size of the seed doesn't make any difference. A small seed can still get an amazing bit of growth coming out of it. That's what that parable means. Yeah, we want to sow good big seed and we want to be spiritual giants and all of these things. But even the smallest of seeds can sprout and grow into something big and beautiful. Where you can eventually, that person who grows like that can eventually sprout branches and give shade to others. That's what can happen. A great harvest can come from even the smallest of seeds. And this is another lesson for us. We do the farming work, and then the Lord is the one who causes the seeds to grow. You may remember the passage from John 4, 35 to 38. Jesus said, do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. In other words, don't worry about who gets the credit. Do the sharing, do the discipling, do the teaching. You may be the one who comes along and harvests because of someone else's work. Someone else may come along and do the harvesting because of the work you've done. But it's for the kingdom. Let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. You know, He's really good at His job and He doesn't need our help. So, sow the seed, water the seed, and trust that God is in the process, doing the behind-the-scenes work. And for the final word, let's not be rice pullers. Because if you try to speed up the process, that plant may die. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.